Rosh Chodesh Shabbat, Monday the 7th of January, Rabbi Avraham Heckscher, Yiddish Belts. I'm confused too. Yiddish Belts. Belts. Like Orion's belt.
Good morning, good Chodesh. This week's parasha, we're introduced to the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach has many halachas, how to prepare the Korban Pesach, to roast it, not to cook it, etc., how to eat the Korban Pesach. And in the middle of the whole list of instructions, how to eat the Korban Pesach, the pasuk says like this, V'chocha soich lo yisai, and this is how you're supposed to eat the Korban Pesach, Mosnechem chaguim, you should be girded with belts, Na'alechem v'aglechem, have your shoes on your feet, and ma'akelchem v'yedchem, your sticks in your hands, v'achaltem oisei b'chippos and Pesach u'ul Hashem. There was an instruction from the Ribbono Shel Olam, v'ayim Moshe Rabbeinu to the Yidden, that when they eat the Korban Pesach, it wasn't however they wanted, besides for the instructions how to prepare the Korban Pesach, it should be roasted, etc., there was a specific way they should be dressed. They have to have their shoes on their feet, their sticks in their hands, and they have to have their belts on. Of all the things which is important, how to eat the Korban Pesach, how to prepare the Korban Pesach, why is it so important, why is it imperative that Klal Yisrael are wearing their belts? Obviously we can ask the same question about the shoes and the sticks. We're going to focus today on the belts. Why is it so important they have their belts on? Not only that, but there's a Mishnah in the first parak of Shabbos where the Mishnah talks about you're not supposed to start doing various activities before Mincha, even on a weekday, in case it will schlep and you'll miss the time of Mincha. Lo yeshiv adam lifnei asapa, you shouldn't sit down in front of the bar v'samach l'mincha atzil yivdavend. You shouldn't go into a merachatz, into a busuki, into a tannery. V'lo lechol, you shouldn't start a suda before Mincha if you haven't yet, etc. Says the Mishnah, v'im ischilu, any of these activities, if you've already started, then you don't need to stop. And the Gemara talks about what's called starting. What's called starting a haircut? Does it mean he has to take a snip or you've just sat down on the chair? What's called starting a din Torah? And then the Gemara says, what's called hascholas suda? When is it considered you've started the suda? Me'im asay hascholas suda? Says the Gemara, mishiyati chagur. When you loosen your belt. When a person sits down to have a suda, he loosens his belt. Some people do it before the challah, some people after the challah, but you're sitting down to eat now, so you loosen your belt. So it seems that when it comes to suda, the normal preparation for suda is to undo the belt, to loosen the belt. And here, when it comes to Korban Pesach, we have to seem to have something which is completely the opposite. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know how to eat the Korban Pesach. If you don't have a belt on, make sure to put it on before you eat it. Make sure to put it on, make sure to tighten it. The Pashto Pshat, before we talk about what we want to talk about, the Pashto Pshat, the Malbim in his Pirish on this Pasuk, where he points out, he brings this Gemara, and he points out, the idea is as follows. Normally when a person sits down at home, so he's to have his Suda, so he's not on his way to go anywhere. If he's not on his way, so he'll take his shoes off, slip his shoes off under the table, and loosen his belt, etc. Right now he's here for the next couple of hours to eat. Klal Yisrael here, on the way, when they're eating the Korban Pesach, V'achalte Moise B'chapaz, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you're eating, you're on your way out. And therefore you have to be ready to go out. Therefore do everything opposite to what you'd normally do. It's true that normally you wouldn't have your shoes on, you wouldn't have your sticks, and you wouldn't have your belts. You'd loosen your belts. But that's because normally at home you're there to stay. Here you're on your way out. And therefore you have to put your belt on, you have to tighten your belt, you have to hold your sticks, and you have to put your shoes on. That's the Poshto Pshat in the Pasuk. But we want to say something a little bit deeper. And we want to use this kasha as a springboard to discuss one of the bracha which you said this morning, we say every morning, which sometimes people don't understand exactly what they're saying, and it's a shame because we say the bracha every day, it's worthwhile to know what we're talking about. The Gemara in Brachas, when the Gemara goes through all the various Birchas HaShachar, right now, our meaning is we say it when we come to shul, from Asher Nasan Asech Rivina, Shalei Asani Nochri, Shalei Asani Isha, Shalei Asani Eved, etc., But really, in the Gemara, it says they didn't say them all in the shul. As they got up, they said each one. When they woke up, they said Shanasan Asach Vivino. When they got dressed, they said Malbisha Ubim. When they stretched, they said Zekif Kfuvim, etc. The brachas near the end, the Gemara says as follows. The chisai misani, when you put your shoes on, you should say shasali kol tzachi. The chiosa hamayne, when you tie up your belt, leima, you say the brach of oize yisrael begvur. The brach of oize yisrael begvur, you gird klal yisrael with strength. What's that girding? That's putting on a belt. The chiporis sudra al reishis is the more, and then when you put a hat on your head, you say oite yisrael besifar. Asks the Bach a gevaldige kasha. We've already said in the previous brachas, one of the previous brachas, Malbisha Umim. We've already thanked the Rabbeinu Shalom, I've got up, and Baruch Hashem, we've got clothes to wear. People get up, with Baruch Hashem, we've got clothes to wear. Clothes include every sort of clothes, every item of clothing. We don't make a separate bracha for the shirt and the jacket and the trousers and the socks and the shoes. Everything has its, well, the shoes we actually do, Shasali Kol Tzachi, but every item of clothing is included in the bracha of Malbisha Umim. Ask the Bach, what's special about these two, that your belt and your hat, that somehow it seems that this is not included in the bracha Malbisha Umim, and we've got a separate bracha on the belt and a separate bracha on the hat. On the belt we've got a bracha of Oizei Yisrael Begvur, and on the hat we've got a bracha of Oizei Yisrael Besifar. You're going to tell me that belts and hats are not included in garments. It's not true. If you look up the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara is talking about, if Muhammad Islam someone's house is on fire on Shabbos, how many items of clothing, there's no area if he can't carry, how many items of clothing is he allowed to wear in one go that it shouldn't be considered carrying? And the Gemara says a person can wear a maximum of 18 items of clothing, and the Gemara lists what are the 18, and one of the 18 is a belt. So we see that a belt and hat is included, they are considered items of clothing. So when we said a bracha of Malbisha Umim, we thank the Rebbeinu for clothing, naked people, included in that is every item of clothing, including the belt. Vos Epes asked the Bach, why when it comes to the belt and the hat, do we make a separate bracha? Ma shetiknu shtei brachas elu. That the Chazal were Masakin, they instituted these two brachas ala chagur v'ala koiva, on the belt and the hat. V'lo yav esagi v'birchas malbisha umim. Why wasn't it good enough with the bracha malbisha umim shepoite kol sha malbushim? That includes every type of malbush. That's his kasha. And there's a second kasha, which jumps out from the pages. Only birchas ha-shacha are brachas on minhoge shel oilam. Zoykif Kufim, we don't mention Klal Yisrael, because Goyim Lahavdil, when they wake up, they also stretch. And Malbisha Umim, we don't mention the Yidden, because when the Goyim wake up, they also get put on clothing. When they put on the Shasali Kol Tzachi, we don't mention Klal Yisrael, because in the same way we put on our shoes, they put on our shoes. Suddenly, this is the first one of the Birchas HaShachar where we mention Klal Yisrael. Oyze Yisrael Bigvur. Why suddenly does Klal Yisrael have mentioned it? The Bracha is talking about belts. The Goyim also put on their belts. Same comes with the next bracha, Oite Yisrael V'Sifar, where you talk about the hats. Klal Yisrael put on hats, and Goyim also put on hats. So why, when it comes to these two brachas, of the hats and the belts, do we mention Klal Yisrael? Obviously, we could take each one of these subjects independently. We're going to focus today on the belts, because that's the subject of our pasuk of V'Chocha, Seich Lo Yisrael, Mosnechem Chagoyim. Answers the Bach as follows. And this is the key, this is the mafteach to understand these two brachas of Oize Yisrael B'Gvur and Oite Yisrael B'Sifar. Nearly the Hainu Tama. I'll explain to you, says the Bach, firstly why there's a separate bracha on these two and it's not included in Malbisha Umim, and secondly why we mention Yisrael. The Hainu Tama, the Lefisha Agoyim, Einon Choshin Lechagur Lekoy Vashiyul Melubashim Mahim Tomit. Does a goy wear a hat? And it depends. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. Depending on the weather, if it's cold outside, he'll put a hat on. When he gets home and he's hot, he'll take it off again. Does he wear a belt? Depends. If he needs to hold his trousers up, he will wear a belt. If they're tight enough without, he won't wear a belt. Aval Klal Yisrael are different. Klal Yisrael tzvichim shiyeh aleim chagur tomit. Klal Yisrael always have a hat. There's never a time when we take our couple off. Inside, outside, cold, hot, it's irrelevant. We've always got a hat on our head. And the same with a belt. We always wear a belt. And I know some of you say, I don't wear a belt, but be'etzem, perhaps the elastic nowadays, perhaps the elastic in our trousers, perhaps is considered a belt. If you go back to the olden days where they wore long cloaks, they had to wear a belt. Why? Klal Yisrael tzvichin shiyeh aleim chagur tomit shelo yehi libo yoyeh sa'ova. Because there's a halacha shelo yehi libo yoyeh sa'ova. Literally translated, the heart shouldn't see the nakedness. Also, when it comes to hat, he says we're not allowed to go arba amos without begilu ha'oish with the head uncovered. Shehei shchinam shaloish yisoil. Lefichof says the Bach. Therefore, hiskinu b'shtei bochas elu. Boch oize yisoil b'gvor. Boch oite yisoil b'sifor. Ki be'ele shtei al ma'abushim. When these two items of clothing, the belt and the hat, nivdolim yisoil min ha'umus. We are separated from the goyim. Val kein einom b'chlal sha'am ma'abushim. They're not included in the other bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Amal Bishawumim. The aim behem hevdol bein umus liyisrael, avol be'elu muvdol yisrael min umus. When it comes to other items of clothing, be it our shirt, or be it our socks, or whatever it is, or our jacket, there's no difference between our item of clothing and the goy. If we want to put the shirt on, we'll put the shirt on. If we want to put the jacket on, we'll put the jacket on. When I go outside, I put my jacket on, I put my coat on. When I come inside, I may take it off. When it comes to, and that's included in Amal Bishawumim, when it comes to the gartel, the belt, and when it comes to the hat, Be'elu shtei malbushim says the Bach nivdolim yisrael mishal umos, and that's why we've got a separate bracha of oite yisrael b'sifar and oize yisrael b'gvur. So again, like I said, we're going to focus bezes Hashem on the belt because that's the subject of our pasuk. So the Bach told us that the reason why a yid has to wear a belt is different reason to why a goy has to wear a belt, and hence the title of the shi'i yiddish belt. The yiddish belt is not just to hold up the trousers. The Yiddish belt says, well, even if you don't need the belt to hold up the trousers, you still have to wear a belt. Why? Shaloi hei liboi royes ha'erva. What does it mean, shaloi hei liboi royes ha'erva? The heart shouldn't see the erva. Obviously, it doesn't mean a physical seeing. Obviously, there's something deeper. We have to understand what it means. And before we introduce that, I want to just remark in one more kasha. Oizei Yisrael b'gvur. B'gvur means with strength. Strength is not normally, gvur is not normally one of the things which we are meshabeach and we praise Klal Yisrael with. Whether he can lift up 60 kilo or 80 kilo or 100 kilo, how much bodybuilding, how big his muscles are, that's not something which we normally associate with Klal Yisrael. Where does this inyan of gvur come into Klal Yisrael? Oizei Yisrael b'gvur. And what's the connection between the gvur, whichever gvur we're talking about, and the belt? Why is that connected to the belt? Obviously, we're talking about a different type of gevurah. A yid is different to any other creation in the world. A malach, which is a creation, is kol kolay neshama, is kol kolay ruchnis, is completely ruchnis, 100%. A behema, an animal, is a guf with no neshama. Perhaps he has a nefesh chayel, he has some sort of living nefesh, but a neshama he doesn't have. A goy also doesn't have a neshama. A yid is the only creation which is murkav, which is created from a combination between a guf and a neshama. A guf, like a behemah, says the Gemara, a behemah has to eat, and etc., etc. Various ways a human being is also like a behemah. However, on the other hand, the person has a neshama. And a person has a neshama which is kol kolei ruchnis, chatzuvah mitachas kitzei hakovet, kaviyochel lechelik of the Rebbeinu Shalom himself. And this shidduch is the most unbelievable shidduch in the world. Because there's no boy and girl which are completely diametrically opposed and different than the guf and the neshama. No one in their right mind would ever have made such a shidduch. These are two things which cannot coexist b'shalom. The guf is doyesh eshelah. The guf demands its worldly pleasures, and the neshama is not interested. This shidduch is a shidduch which al pi teva cannot exist, and it's such a chiddush that we make a brach every morning on it. Roifei kol basa or mafli la'asos. We thank the Rebbeinu Shem for doing mafli a pele. Says the Rebbeinu, what's the pele? What's the amazing wonder the Rebbeinu Shem does? He makes the neshama and the guf live side by side in the same body, the same together for 120 years b'shalom. It's a gevaldige pele. That's the roifei kol basa mafli la'asos. However, sometimes you have shalom bayis problems between the guf and the neshama. It's true that b'derech klal they get on peacefully, but sometimes they have problems. What are the problems? The guf, in the end of the day, is a guf. And the guf wants to eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you may die. Who knows how long I'm here for? After I'm 20, nothing happened. The guf rots. The guf wants its worldly pleasures. And therefore the guf says to the neshama, you know what, let's forget about it all. Let's go and be misanig, and let's go and delve ourselves into the depths of the tanuga olam hazeh. The neshama, on the other hand, is the exact opposite. The neshama is chatzuvim dachas kisei hakovet. He has no sheifa. No passion, no desire at all to busy himself with the Tanuga Olam Hazeh. He only wants to be koneh Torah and mitzvahs and milas chasadim, etc. So you have this constant battle between the guf and the neshama, which is b'etzem the reason why we're here. The Rebbeinu Shem, if he wouldn't have wanted us to have this battle, he would have made us like malachim. But malachim, he's got enough where they don't have this challenge. The Ben Shem makes us with this challenge. He puts in the guf and the neshama together. He says, I'll do the pele. I'll let them coexist together. But it's your job to make sure the shalom bayis. And it's your job to make sure that the neshama is the one which overcomes the guf. Gvur bayid doesn't mean how many kilos he can pick up. Gvur means ezul gibo hakovesh yisitzoi. What does it mean hakovesh yisitzoi? Someone who can live his life that the neshama will indeed overpower the guf. He's a true gibo. Because it's taka shver bitum ulchom, it's a hard war to win. It's the guf never gives up. However much you beat him, he comes back again and again. And the neshama keseda and keseda every day and every minute of your life has this milchama against the guf. Ezil gibbo says ben zoyma hakovish yisit. So someone has the koyach and someone who has the consistently the strength to help his neshama overcome the guf. Not only that. But Yetzirah is different. Every person has his own Yetzirah. Ezu gibo hakovish es Yetzirah. It doesn't say. It says hakovish es Yetzirah. Because everyone has their own Yetzirah. So everyone has their own personal Yetzirah, which is custom made for him. And the Bnei Hashem says, I want you to use your neshama to overcome your guf. That's what Chassidus Sfarim say. That's pshat in the Tefillah, which we say, Moisa ha'adam in ha'beima oyin ki hakol avel, which literally translated to mean that the Moisa, the advantage and the maila of a yid, or of a person, ala beima oyin, is nothing. They translate it to mean oyin, the power to say no. A behema, if you put in front of a behema, you put in front of a cow some grass, you put in front of a dog some pedigree chum, he doesn't have the yecholus to say no. He doesn't have the ability to say no. A human being has the ability to say no. He's got the koyach to say, like by Yosef Atzad Vayimayim, he said no. It's true, my guf is doyish, my guf wants, but no. Sometimes perhaps you don't have the yecholus. I remember when my kid came home from a birthday party, he had two toffees, he pulled out his pocket just before bedtime. This was after he'd brushed his teeth. So I told him, I'll take it away, I'll give it back to you tomorrow. He said he cannot go to sleep without he's going to hold it under his pillow. I said, you know what, okay, hold it under your pillow, but promise me you're not going to eat it till tomorrow. Okay, no problem. I come to him late in his bed and I find in his hand the two empty wrappers. A child doesn't have the ability to say, I'm putting the toffee in front of you and wait till tomorrow. He doesn't have that maturity. In a way, that's like a behemah. A behemah doesn't have the yecholus to say no. You put in front of him some tanugim, some desires, some tanugim elamazah. He doesn't have the ability to say no. Moisa ha'adam. We have an neshama, our moisa, a whole mile of a yid over behemah is the ability to say no. That means the neshama can overpower the guf. So obviously he does have a koyach bechira. He has, obviously goes in between a behemah and a yid. Obviously he has more than nefesh. He has a bechira. An animal doesn't have a bechira, a goy does. But not like, he doesn't have the neshama which we have. We all know this in our mind. I'm not saying any chidushim. Everyone knows. Everyone knows this idea. Sometimes, however, it doesn't help. The idea doesn't help. We've got to really internalize it. We really got to live by it. What it means, means as follows. A person's body is more or less split in two. The upper half of a person's body, where his heart lies and where his brain lies, we all know in our heart and we all know in our brain what we're here for, why we're here, what we have to do, that the neshama really is the thing which is supposed to overpower the guf. However, under the belt resembles the tanuge elamaze, redifas atavas, running after your legs, etc., running after the tanuge elamaze, running after worldly pleasures. Shaloyeh libo roya sa'erva means that your kaseda, every minute of your life, got this milchoma between the top half of your body and the bottom half of your body. There has to be a belt, there has to be a clearly defined boundary between the ruchnis and the gashmis, between the redifas acha tanuga elam haba and the redifas acha tanuga elam hazeh. There has to be a belt the whole time, not just to hold your trousers up. A yid says the bach always has to wear a belt. Shaloyeh liboy, that his lev, his neshama, his mayach, all the places where the neshama live, yodat ha'ayim ha'shaveis ha'lovecho, have to overpower the erva. Shaloi hei libo reyes ha'erva. The libo shouldn't get influenced by the erva. Faket. The libo should overpower the erva.
In the top part, you've got the eyes, which are also problematic.
Correct. Depends what they're used for. Our eyes are also, if they're used in the correct way, are kaelim vayil. It's true what you're saying. Of course, 100%. But if you look in Sfarim, it's the lower half of the body, which is the... what stands out in a body as redifa sacha tanuge elamaze. It's true. It says, halev, lo yisasu achar einechem. It's true. Everything you can use, l'toyv elamutu. That is the inyan of a Yiddish belt. That's what the Bach means. It's true we've made the Bach of Malbish Arumim, which includes all the Malbushim, all the garments of which we are on our body. However, when it comes to a belt, this belt is different. Because the belt of a Yid, says the Bach, is intrinsically different to the belt of a Goy. A Goy wears a belt only if he needs to. Like he'll wear a shirt if he wants to, he'll wear a t-shirt if he wants to, he'll wear a jacket if he wants to, at convenience. He'll wear a belt if he needs to. He might wear a belt, he might wear braces, he might wear nothing. When it comes to a Yid, there's no such thing. A Yid, says the Bach, has to wear a belt. Like I said, again, in the olden days, they wore long clothes. It has to be a belt. Why does it have to be a belt? There has to be a clearly defined boundary, clearly defined distinction between the libo and the erva, between the neshama and the neguf. Otherwise, it will be nispal, but otherwise, there won't be clarity in our tafkid in olam hazeh. That is the idea of a belt. I saw them in Eisoscha, a moedik avot. In Pashas Tzav, the Torah introduces us to the very first avodah, which the Kohen did in the Beis HaMikdash every day. The very first avodah was Trumas Adeshen. There was a pile of ash from all the emorim which had been burning overnight, and he has to take it off the mizbeach. Says the pasuk like this: "V'lo v'asha koyin midoy vadu michnesei vadi yilbash al basoi." Now we all know that a koyin hedit has four begodim. He has to do the avodah in four begodim. Here, when it comes to this pasuk, it says he should put on the ksoines and he should put on the michnesayim and he should go and do it. Go and do the avodah. The Torah only lists two of the four begodim. Now the Gemara is also in the Gemara. Does he indeed only wear two? And the Gemara learns out from Yalfusas, from other places, and of course he has to wear all four begodim. He has to wear, besides the Ksenis and the Mechnasayim, he also has to wear the belt and the hat as well. However, the Torah only spoke out these two. I don't understand. Either don't say any, and we'll work out, we'll learn out from other places you need to have all four, or write all four. One or the other. Why does the Torah specify two? Just put on two of the... In truth, he has to put on all four, so why does the Torah only say you should put on the Ksenis and put on the Mechnasayim? Why does it leave out the chagur, the avnate, and the mikvas and the hat? Says the Sosva in his sefer of Magid Talum, he says like this: Hinei mitznefes va'avnate lo nizka. The Torah doesn't say here that the mitznefes and the avnate, even though the Gemara lands out, you do have to have them on. Why? Achnirili. The bosa ha'Torah lo amizlon. The Torah is trying to hint to us. It's true that a Kohen has a specific avnet, a specific type of belt and a specific type of hat. But the truth is, every Yid has to wear a belt and a hat. Every Yid has to have, like we said before, a chagur and a mitznefes. Like the Bach said, there's no such thing as Yid without a couple, there's no such thing as Yid without a belt. So the Torah didn't need to say that the Kohen should put on his belt and his hat, because he's already got a belt and a hat on. Obviously, he has to change it. But the Torah is trying to the big Dekuna, the Torah is trying to hint to us that a belt and a hat is something which every Yid has. The Kohen here is only adding another to the Mechnasayim and the Ksonis, which perhaps a normally doesn't need to have. But Ksonis and Ban Avnet, the chagur, and a mikvas, every Yid has to have. Comes out that when we put on our belt in the morning, we put on our kappel in the morning, we are, says the B'nai Yisrael, really putting on something which is our big day kohen. In the same way that Kohen has to put on his begodim to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, we have to put in these begodim, because the Yid, every Yid, not only a Kohen, not only a Levi, Israel as well, has to have these two, what we call big day kohen. That resembles our avoid in Olam Hazeh, that the Neshama should overpower the Guf. Comes out that the belt of a Yid is completely different to a Goy. So we've understood all three words in the pasuk, all three kashas which we started with. We understand why, when it comes to the belt, it's not included in the bracha of Malbish Arumim. It's taka not included in the bracha of Malbish Arumim. It's true what the Gemara says in Brachos, that... Well, the Gemara says in Shabbos, sorry. It's true what the Gemara says in Shabbos, that belts are included, they are called a malbush, they are called a beged. If the house is on fire, one of the 18 begodim which you can save is the belt. Here, however, when we say malbush ha'umim, we didn't mention Yisrael. That was talking about all the malbushim, all the items of clothing, which there's no chiluk, there's no difference between a Yid and a Goy. In your shirt, there's no difference between a Yid and a Goy. However, when it comes to these two, oyze Yisrael bigvor, oyze Yisrael b'sivor, when it comes to the chagur, the avnet, when it comes to the hat, says the Bach, in these two, there's a difference between a Yid and a Goy. There's a difference between the whole tafkid of a Yiddish belt and a Goyish belt. A Goyish belt is to hold up the trousers. A Yiddish belt is to be mafid, to separate between Livoy and his Erva, to be mafid between the Ruchnis and the Gashmis, to be mafid between the Neshama and the Guf. In order to remind him, there has to be clearly defined boundary, and he must never lose clarity in his what he's here for in Olam Hazeh. Now that we understand that, so we've understood why we need a separate bracha, we've understood why we mention Yisrael, and we've also understood B'Gvur, where Gvur comes in. Because that's what Gvur is. Gvur is the battle of the Neshama over the Guf. Eze will give our Kovesh as Yitzui. With that introduction, shall we say, we can now come back to where we started. We asked Akasha, why was it so important? Why is it so important that Klal Yisrael eating the Korban Pesach? Why is it so important they have to have their belts on? Not only why is it so important, but more than that. We ask, the Gemara says in Shabbos, where is normally the Haskolas HaSudah? When you open, you loosen your belt. That's what a person normally does when he sits down to eat. He starts to eat, he opens it, he loosens his belt. Here we've got Faket. You're sitting down to eat, says the Rebbein Shem. You know what I want you to do? I want you to tighten your belt. I want you to put on your belt. How does that go together? So we said before what the Malbim says. Of a Bionis and Shreif, a wartime godel, writes in his Sefer, writes Pirish HaGod, it's printed now. He says a very bekitzer, but I believe he meant everything which we've said today. He says, the way I understand what he says is as follows. Put yourself into the mindset of Klal Yisrael. They've grown up their whole life in Mitzrayim. All these Yidden who are about to leave Mitzrayim were born in Mitzrayim. They never knew any different. They all only knew kosher shibud. They never knew about steaks and sushis and all these things. They didn't know about tanugei olam hazeh. All they'd known their entire life was poor man's bread, matzah, which is hard to digest. They had no musig of tanugei olam hazeh. And for the first time in their life now, they're roasting meat. For the first time in their life, they're sitting down to a geshmak of suda. This is the first time in their life where they're going to have the battle between the neshama and the guf. As the guf says, "Ah, tanuga yom hazeh, eat, drink, and be merry," and the neshama says, "No, this is Pesach ul Hashem." Bachalta moisi bechipos and Pesach ul Hashem. Says Rabbi Yonason Shreif, it's true that a normal person when he sits down to his suda, our natural reaction is to loosen the belt, but it shouldn't be like that. A normal, the correct reaction of a yid should be, my belt still has to stay in place. My belt reminds me that there's a chiluk, there's a battle between the neshama and the guf. Rav Kopelman zechoin levracha. The Rosh Yeshiva Nutzern used to say that Hasidic Shabbachim, they all learn, they don't take off their ekel and the hat when they learn. He said to them, you know, I don't mind. I don't mind if you take off your hat and your ekel when you learn. But when you eat, I want you to have your hat and your ekel on. Why? Because when you're learning, you won't forget who you are, you won't forget what you stand for, you won't forget your yid. When you're eating, that's when the sakon is, that's when the danger is. You're eating, perhaps you're going to delve into the tanukah and amazah. That's where you have to remember what the gartel is there for. That's when you have to remember the gartel and the hat. This was the first time Klal Yisrael had this open battle between the Tanuga Olam Hazeh and the Neshama. Memela says the Rebbeinu Shlom, "B'chacha toich lo yisnei masnichem chagurim." Have your belt on. Remember who you are. Remember what you stand for. Remember the Neshama is there to overpower the Guf. That's Pshat in the Pesach, says Rebbeinu Shlom Shteif. Al Kaponim, what we want to take out from there is this Gevald Gebrach, which we make every morning. And I think, unfortunately, because this is one of the harder brachas to understand, there's some which are easier to understand, as they give Tfufim and the Malbishum, etc. When we put on a belt, we have to make a separate brach of putting on a belt. The answer is yes. We have to make a separate brach of putting on a belt to understand that the belt shows how different we are from the Goyim. The reason why we put on a belt is completely different. We have to remember this is the line in the morning which we say to remind ourselves, I've got up in the morning, I've got a day ahead of me, my tafkid is, I'm going to have every minute of the day, I'm going to have a battle between the neshama and the guf. The belt is there to remind me, shalo yei libo yosei over. The libo shouldn't be nichshal, the libo shouldn't be influenced, the libo shouldn't succumb to the pituim, to the seduction of the erevah, and all the defas olam hazeh. That lechoyah is pshat in the bocha, bocha ata Hashem lekeinu melech olam, oizei yisrael b'gvurah, agit chodesh. Thank you.